You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
You know, I think a mutual parting is possible in Pittsburgh.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Identify for me coaches that you believe are coaching for their jobs.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Washington, Carolina, Chargers.
You got the Raiders, too.
And again, it sounds weird. Pittsburgh, New England, Seattle. That those would be, there would be changes.
Earlier on the show, NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Troy Vincent. Coming up, Colorado head coach, Deion Sanders. Fox Sports college football insider, Bruce Feldman. Actress, Shelley Henig. And now, Rich Eisen.
That's a fact. And here's proof. Hi. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've never had the actress Shelley Henig here before, but she's automatically going to be one of our favorites because she's clearly a friend coming down here in the ring. And if we're going to apply that standard to Andrew Whitworth yesterday,
absolutely.
And even though we've had him multiple times before, and I am actual friends with him,
right?
We've got to apply that to anybody in Los Angeles.
Anybody.
Again, that might actually be accurate. Yesterday it was not.
No, I played
this morning. It was.
It's like, and so basically, we're telling people out there around the rest of the country, think of us. So we're here.
Thoughts and prayers
on this program.
T's and P's.
Deion Sanders, hour three as well on this show. Bruce Feldman's about to join us here. There's a new Oregon Duck receiver, right? Correct?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know his name.
He's my new favorite receiver in the Big Ten because he told Ohio State, no thanks. Welcome to Big Ten, Phil Knight, right? I imagine.
Jeremiah McClennon.
Yeah, flips from Ohio State to the Ducks.
Yep.
Wow, you don't tell Ohio State as a wide receiver I'm not coming, right?
See ya.
Unless you do. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
It's fun.
In their Cotton Bowl.
Fun.
Getting ready for the Rose Bowl. Interestingly enough, Bruce Feldman wrote a piece. He spoke to every coach that's played Michigan, and every last one of them thinks Alabama's going to win the Rose Bowl.
Shocking.
Very strange.
There's more to that. You're just, you know.
What's more to it?
You're bare-bonesing it.
Okay, so
it's
put more meat on
very
it.
Very simple.
What is it?
I'll let Bruce do it when he comes out. He did write the piece, but,
okay.
You know, guys are watching film.
Uh-huh.
They're seeing the difference between the beginning of the season where your schedule was, how do I put this, cupcake? And then the end of the season where it was backloaded and you play a little bit tougher competition, sees a different Michigan team from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
Okay. Interesting. End of the year where they didn't have their coach for three games, right?
Because he was running it.
No, he wasn't ready. He was running it. He was running it?
I knew about it.
Oh, he knew about it.
You're the head coach.
He
so are you in charge or are you not in charge?
He did know about it.
Are you in charge or are you not in charge?
Can you send me that article that where the evidence is that he...
Are you in charge or are you not in charge?
Do me this
favor. Why did he accept the suspension then if he...
Do me this favor. Send me that article that says he was running it and knew about it. Do me that favor. Unless...
Did he accept the suspension or not? Did he stand down?
Let me ask you this question.
Or did he fight it to the bitter end?
Let me ask you this question.
Which did he choose? Because if I remember correctly,
yes.
He accepted because he knew it was going to be way worse if he fought it.
Let me ask you this question. Did you receive the report of the fully baked investigation that somehow magically got dropped on the doorstep of the NCAA by somebody? We still don't know who. The NCAA hasn't come out how they got
that. Why does it matter?
Absolutely matters.
Why? Why?
Because it matters to me.
You can't even do it with a straight face.
No, because it matters to me. I just want to know if they dust for DNA on that.
CSI?
CSI Ann Arbor? CSI NCAA. If we dust for prints on the dossier that got dropped off or the IP addresses, are any of them based in Columbus, Ohio? That's what we all in Michigan want to know. We want to know that.
Because
it's in the past.
It's in the past. You already think it. So what does it matter if it's true or not?
It's in the past for this year in terms of Harbaugh has been suspended for it. He served it. And Michigan didn't lose. And
except that he was there literally every waking second except the 3 hours of game time.
Well, yeah. Or the hour before or however long it took him to get into the locker room after it.
Sure.
I mean, if you really want to boil it down.
Four.
Honestly, and so that's done. And what's also put to bed is that Michigan had such a remarkable competitive advantage that they would lose without it. Didn't happen. So that's gone now too. Even he's Nick Saban is saying, "Yeah, that was no big deal anyway. We switch stuff up all the time." And he just used that as a speed bump. He's already moved on and hired somebody from the staff of Michigan to basically tell him what the plays are and match him up to the tendencies and the signals. But other than that, which is legal, totally legal to do.
Yeah.
So other than all of that, the only thing that's left is what's going to happen with Harbaugh once the season is over, whether it is January 1st or January 8th, and whether they do have a trophy or not, or if he stays, the NCAA just keeps knocking on the door with the dossier that clearly you must have that's in front of him, that they see a fully baked investigation conducted initially by, who knows? We don't know. I have no idea. That's what I want to know. So you ask me, why do I want to know? Why does it matter to me?
Why does it matter?
Because it matters. It matters to me. It does.
You either broke all the rules and thumbed your nose in the face of
authority. What if somebody broke the rules in handing that investigation to the NCAA with information that they had no business having? Would you be interested in that?
No business. What do you mean they had no business having?
What if there was something that is in this investigation that is information?
So if I see bad things happening and I maybe go out of my way to find out and report that information to authorities, I'm wrong?
What
so
if
you're blaming the people who reported wrongdoing?
No, I'm not blaming them. What if there's information in there that they broke a law getting? Would you be interested in that? Would you be interested in that?
So what's worse, breaking the law to find the bad information of people cheating or the people breaking the law to get the information? So you're saying they're worse.
Are you not interested in how this got on the doorstep of the NCAA?
Why does it matter?
Because it matters.
To you, because you feel aggrieved. So you're now the victims, even though you committed the crime.
Three words, Chris. I've explained it to you, and I still don't understand why you're not with me being a Patriot fan.
I am not with you on this.
Michigan versus everybody.
I am not with you
on this. I don't
think
it's all that. Everybody.
Everybody.
Against who?
It's great. It's great. And I'm wearing it. I'm wearing it like I've always had it.
Super rich.
It's great. And I don't understand why you're not with me on that. You forfeited draft choices. How are you not with me?
We did not forfeit draft choices.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
They were stolen.
You guys.
Do you want to know how they were stolen?
I do know how they were stolen. The NFL did not understand science. That's how they were stolen.
Good enough. But at least you had a whole full report on that. You got a report? I want one.
The first report never came out.
I want one.
So pay $5 million for your own report, which is what the league did.
Did they? Okay.
You guys are the best.
It's time.
I'm exhausted.
I'm not. It's like my cardio every day now. Honestly, I'm used to it now. It's great.
Defending freedom is exhausting.
That's what play for.
It's time. It's a Wednesday. It's the NFL season. It's time for my power rankings. Hit it. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
All right, here we go. It's week 16.
Oh, yeah.
And it's time. It's time to start really spitting facts. Like the last 15 weeks, I was dancing around.
Dancing around the facts. Dancing around facts.
That was a good
one. I'm just going to really lay it on the line.
Dancing around facts.
Not that I wasn't before. I'm just telling you, it's time. There's a new team on my power rankings list.
Oh.
And it's quarterbacked by Jake Browning.
Oh,
the Bengals are tense.
Oh, wow.
The Bengals are tense. I'm concerned about Jamar Chase's health. But
two weeks maybe, right?
The way this kid is playing right now. And T. Higgins, how about that play that T. Higgins made? Taking that 50-50 ball and saying, it's not a 50-50 ball, it's a 100% ball, and I'm reaching for the pylon at the same time. Unbelievable.
I think he was mad I said he wasn't him last week. And
he definitely consumes this program. He also wants to be paid. Let me just say something. The defense, coordinated by Staten Island's own Lou Anarumo, it's similar to the last year's team. It's similar to the teams that we've seen make the playoffs. And as long as Jake Browning is doing the Jake Browning stuff and, you know, remembering times where the Minnesota Vikings used to make him feel bad and he's going to take it out on the Vikings? Now here comes the Pittsburgh Steelers, the only team to have beaten him? I'm right about that, I think. The Bengals are 10th on my power rankings list, new to the list. Number 9, no change, zero change at all. The Browns are there. Joe Flacco, the Flacco-sance, love that.
Flacco-sance,
my coach of the year candidate. Kevin Stefanski, they're going to go to Houston.
Yeah, they are.
This week. Oh. That's a big 8-6 team hosting a 9-5 game.
Joe Flacco and Case Keenum.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Two guys were all too familiar with their couches.
ATC.
This is it, man. Although Case has been around all year. But bottom line is the Browns are 9th. No change. Lions are 8. I'm keeping the Lions at 8. Now it's time for a bunch of changes. You might think the line should be a little bit higher, but that one game against the Broncos made me feel like it's still in there. I need to see more consistency to start moving them up because those that are inconsistent or have been moved down. I think this is the lowest they've been ranked on my power rankings all year. Down 3 spots are the Philadelphia Eagles at 7. I'm putting them at 7 right here.
I think that's fair.
And I am seeing a 3-game losing streak, ill-timed to say the least. And I am seeing a defense that is not taking the ball away enough. And, you know, with those guys up front, I mean, Jalen Carter, let's see more game-altering plays from him. Let's see some sacks. Let's see some takeaways. That's been missing just as much as consistency on offense. So they're 7. Down 4 spots, I'm putting the Cowboys here. And I couldn't have been more disappointed by that. I put them at 2, and I'm like, this is the year it's going to be different. And then they go out and put on tape and in front of the whole world to see on live TV. Just the same old, same old. All right, let's have a team that is coming out, hitting you in the mouth in a very difficult environment to focus and execute, and it just steamrolls downhill, and they just get blown out and see you later. So...
Bills had to win that game.
Dude, I know what they had to do. The Cowboys had to also. If they want to be the one seed in this conference, they had to win that. Every game is have to now. I don't want to hear that. Who needs it more conversation. So they got the Cowboys. I've got the Cowboys down 4 spots.
You are number 1.
The Miami Dolphins are up 2 spots at 5. I think the Dolphins are going to win this game this weekend, personally. And I think that they are – what a move, man. Tyreek, sit. We need you for the final 3. We got this taken care of without you with the Jets coming to town. I know they just put up 30 on the Texans, but you sit. We've got it. And they just totally crushed it and removed the taste of that loss to the Titans directly out of their mouths. Up 2 spots because I still think this team has a shot at the 2 seed. I still think that this team winds up with 12 wins when it's all said and done. I like the Kansas City Chiefs still. That's still a championship defense. I think they win out. I think they're 12-5. I think they win this division. I think they still have a shot at the 2 seed. And I think that they still might just wind up when it's all said and done hosting the AFC championship game. Whew. Anyway. That's still in the ether. And karma is still a friggin' boy on the Chiefs. All right? So everybody back off. And I love that she's working blue. She's acting like every fan is. She's just the most famous woman in the world.
She's dialed.
And I'm just concerned at some point, Brittany Mahomes is one more Kadarius Scissorhands game away from pulling a full-on Giselle saying, my husband cannot throw and catch it. So let's catch it and remove that pressure from Brittany, please.
She should.
On behalf of all the Mahomeses. Number 3 on this list, up 2 spots. I put the Buffalo Bills 3rd on my power rankings.
My gosh.
I am putting an 8-6 team number 3.
I love
the
it.
Because, had to win.
I love it.
What's up? Because I love what they are doing. They are playing some of the best football in the NFL right now, and I will keep saying it. Number 4. It's not 17, and it's not number 14. Because that's what it's all been about. Allen, can he put on the Superman cape? Can he do it himself? And then where is Stephon Diggs in all this? Where is Gabe Davis in all this? You know who takes the pressure off of that? James Cook. He did it against the Cowboys. He's done it against the Eagles, and it didn't wind up with a win. He is amazing, and I'll say it again. He's playing like Christian McCaffrey for the Bills. And if he is that type of talent week in, week out, look out. Look out. You better keep them out of the tournament. He did not practice today with an illness. Let's get some fluids in him, everybody. But and then again, I mean, the Bills are taking on Easton Stick and the Chargers and GIF, right? It's not Coach GIF, it's Coach GIF.
I think it's Coach GIF.
Okay, Coach
yeah,
GIF.
Could be GIF
So let's just everybody understand how good this team is. They're three. Number two on my power rankings list, up one spot, is the current one seed in the AFC. By the way, Lamar Jackson is playing better this year than he did in his MVP year of 2019. That's a fact. I'm concerned about Keaton Mitchell going down, but this defense is championship quality. Lamar is MVP quality. John Harbaugh is coaching out of his skull right now. And Kyle Hamilton, I spoke it into existence. He's on Friday's show.
Hey.
We're excited about
nice.
That.
Son number seven.
He has no idea.
Man, you have so many kids now.
He has no idea that someone from Notre Dame could be the son of a Jew.
He's coming from Antonio Cromartie and Phil Rivers.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, you could see the touchdown, right? That's technically. All right, number one.
Touchdown.
I should stay out of that lane.
Wow.
And get back into the power rankings. The 49ers are the best team in the NFL. Who's
kidding? I
didn't
even think you needed to say that they were number one. I think we knew, right?
That's it. So here are my power. I'm not even backing it up. I'm even telling you why.
No, it's just like, hey, they're one. Let's move on.
You can see it. You know it. You see it.
Right.
And the Jaguars are out. The Bengals are in. And everybody else has just been reconfigured with the exception, the only one that stayed put, I'm all over the map, is the 49ers, the Lions, and the Browns. Everybody else moved around.
That's a good list, Rich.
Thanks.
I mean, it's a really
list, Mike. Look at you, Mike.
Dude, don't blame the list. Blame your team from laying an egg.
Hey, look.
Up in Buffalo.
Apparently, we can't beat good teams, right? That's the narrative. We always talk about
you can't beat good teams
and beat good teams on the road. So what happened? We went on the road and we lost to a good team.
No, you didn't
that
lose.
Was your narrative.
You didn't lose.
So you shouldn't have been surprised.
Yes. You didn't lose.
Also, Buffalo had to win that game,
no,
and
my
we're
God.
In first place.
You the said sun you was in your first. Eyes, too.
It was marvelous.
It was marvelous. We're in first place.
That's a
again, like I said on Overreaction Monday podcast, get it now where you get your podcasts or on YouTube. Cowboys are fine.
And I pointed out to you.
Cowboys are fine.
That the Dallas Cowboys are the only team in the NFL where the overreaction is a reasonable statement. Just you going reasonable, zagging.
Cowboys are fine.
While everyone else is zigging or zigging while everyone else is zagging.
Right. Right.
By being reasonable.
Yeah.
That's the overreaction.
That's the overreaction.
With all due respect.
Nicely done. I drop.
Yes.
Just all saying. Right. Before Bruce Feldman comes out here, go ahead and get your Game Time app on your mobile device today. It is a perfect way to get ready for the holiday season if you want to take your family or your spouse or your significant other or any parts of your family to a special night at a basketball game, a hockey game, a football game, at a concert, comedy. You want to go see a comedy show. Every single possibility is available to you to buy tickets in seconds with two taps and have no guesswork involved because you could see the view from every single seat that you choose. You can get all-in prices to show you your total up front. You know you're getting a great deal before you check out. And when you download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code RICH, you get $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms if you wish. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Bruce Feldman's coming out here, everybody. It's signing day. Feldman's entering the Rich Eisen Show portal. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum.
Let's get inside of my father, John Glover. You know, we watched Talkville, and most of these episodes I never saw.
I didn't watch the show.
You never once saw yourself on Smallville.
In the beginning, I used to look at myself all the time and love to. And then as I get older, I stopped.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm older.
I was going to talk to you about that because you're 79.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
11.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, look who's here, everybody. It's Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox Sports.
Ooh, sitting ovation, thank you.
There we go. Yeah, sitting ovation. I just asked you what games you're going to, and you're going to any bowl games?
I'm going to the Rose Bowl, and I'm going to maybe the national title game. I don't know. We'll
see. Oh, really? Okay, you got that going on. Not going to the Cotton Bowl? Not going to go to the Cotton Bowl?
No.
Okay.
I might go to the Chargers-Bills game this weekend.
Oh, nice. Nice. Going to go see Easton Stick?
Pride
of the
Will Greer,
the
Bison. Who knows? Yes.
That'd be wild.
That would be wild. Can't be any worse.
So no Cotton Bowl. Because, you know, there's a Big Ten team. There's a Big Ten team in the Cotton Bowl. There's a big game in the Cotton Bowl.
It is a big game. There's a lot of good matchups.
It's on December 29th, I think, right?
Yeah, some of the games are surprisingly bumped up earlier. You know why? It's your fault.
Mine.
The NFL takes over, so nobody wants to go up against the NFL window.
Well, the NFL, excuse me, the NFL has just had its final Monday night game of the year. Monday night football game of the year because, you know, there's Christmas Day, and then after that, they're staying away from the national championship semifinals.
Well, it's the playoff is different than I think all those, you know,
right,
the other bowls. So I don't think Georgia-Florida, especially with Georgia-Florida State,
right,
that would be into the NFL.
So. Okay. Yeah, and Ohio State's taking on
Mizzou.
Mizzou
had a great year this year.
They did.
Eli Drinkwitz did a good job.
Yeah, didn't he call themselves America's team? Well, taking a shot at Michigan? I see it all. It is everybody. It really is everybody, Bruce. It's everybody's taking their shots right now. It's great. I don't understand why you're not with me.
Hard.
You're as a Patriot fan, you should be with me in this.
They wouldn't be the only cheaters.
No. Wow.
From all sides.
Good one.
Wow.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and the great Fox Sports college football team joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show in his usual Wednesday spot. It is signing day today, right?
It is, yes.
What is the significance of as significant as the transfer portal, do you think?
Or
has it lost its significance?
It's lost some of its significance.
Okay.
I am going to say something that'll probably make you unhappy, but
okay,
I will say it anyway.
Please.
The number one recruit in the country, Jeremiah Smith, arguably the top receiver to come out of South Florida in a generation,
okay,
from people who are dialed into that sort of thing. Had been committed to Ohio State for a long time. People thought he might flip to Florida State or Miami. Mm-hmm. This morning he announced he's going to be a Buckeye. That's big for Ryan Day. They did lose another good receiver commit to Oregon.
Yes.
But, you know, I think it's a sign of like, hey, people are still believing.
Oh, well, I mean, all you got to do is see who just caught the game-winning pass on Monday Night Football.
I know. Looked like the Rose Bowl catch he made.
Yeah, I think they showed. Did they show that in the game? I don't know. I thought I saw that on Instagram something like that. But
yeah.
I mean, that's all you got to do is just turn on the television
on the tape,
set in the NFL.
You know, Brian Hartline and Ryan Day have cranked out elite receiver after elite receiver.
Right. Yep. So hopefully, you know, he'll have a great career and then go on and become an offensive rookie of the year in the NFL, just like Garrett Wilson and C.J. Stroud will be, and maybe Marvin Harrison will be.
Next year.
Share if it's, the same thing that they lost their last games to Michigan. Hopefully that'll just be part of that young man's path.
Yeah, it kind of blew my mind a little. I talked to Marvin in the summer, and he was like, yeah, I got to beat Michigan. I haven't beat them yet. And it's crazy that this guy is the most talented receiver they've had there.
Yes.
And
but he's not. He's going. I mean, he said he wants to win the Natty, and he doesn't want to lose to Michigan. He's a Pro Bowl receiver right now, potentially. Like,
yeah.
You can truly make that case.
And he checks every box. I mean, he's like a delightful guy. He's very smart.
Yes.
He has great work ethic. all of it. You know, he's, I would say, probably as good as has come out of college as a receiver in a long time.
Well, I know Joel Klatt, your colleague at Fox, has been, he was talking about him being one of the top receivers in last year's class.
He would have been a top receiver last year. Wasn't a great receiver, dude, but he's got really good size. He is super athletic.
So good.
And he's, you know, he's super intelligent and have the work ethic and the competitiveness. Yeah. To me, he's a can't miss.
So again, just returning, signing day is what? Is it devalued in a way?
It's devalued a little because what's happened is the portal has become such a big deal. And what a lot of coaches have figured out is, development is key, but we may lose those players 2 years from now. We need guys now who are proven players. Yeah. And so it may be guys who are at smaller schools, at group of five schools, some even like FCS programs. I mean, Jared Verse, who you will talk about in the draft early, you know, in the spring, was at what was known to you and I when we were growing up as SUNY Albany. It was a Great Dane in that league, you know, and then he got spotted. Florida State got him. He had a terrific year last year. And that normally, you know, years ago, that wouldn't have happened. He would have probably ended up maybe making it into the Senior Bowl or the Blue-Gray game or something and blew up in the draft process. But because he was able to, you know, Florida State found him, you know, this is the thing where we've seen lots of guys just have a second wind or get a second chance. And it's different. Everybody's looking for their Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow was kind of buried on the Ohio State bench. He goes to LSU and he becomes the greatest player in LSU history and leads him to a national championship.
And obviously, everybody, as you want, wants one of those to change their fortunes around so quickly. But again, I'm maybe it's the cynic in me, but every single time I see any signing or any announcement about signing day, like a day like today, or the transfer portal, somebody, I'm sitting here wondering how much money was involved in this.
Well, it's,
That's because that is what's going on right now,
but
right?
It's no secret. I mean, what you don't know is often exactly how much, but that is absolutely what's going on. I mean, I've talked to a lot of coaches last off season where they were like, guys are poaching, they're recruiting off your roster, and they're saying, you need to get in the portal. We'll pay you this. And
even at games where they're competing against them, right?
Yeah, I've definitely heard from coaches going, they're looking around the post-game handshake and they see the head coach talking to one of their players and they kind of get a sinking feeling. You know, the schools with the best collectives, the programs with the best collectives, certainly that is the Oregon Ducks. You know, Phil Knight, they have, you saw what they did recently. They get Dylan Gabriel, who was the one quarterback who beat Texas this year at Oklahoma. He's going to be an Oregon Duck. He'll probably be a really good fit in that system. And they'll probably, you know, when they go into the Big Ten next year, he'll make them a legit playoff contender.
And when I'm saying this about, like, how much money is involved and things of that nature, not to go full Greg Sankey here, but, you know, how do we know the money that's offered actually winds up in the hands of the kids as part of the commitment that's been made verbally? Or is there any paperwork on this sort of thing? Like, were you
there's definitely some, but like
with an actual sum of money that's on a contract that a player and the college sign. Like, this.
We did a big story in The Athletic about a year ago on a pretty high profile quarterback recruit out in Northern California who at one point, and the money that was speculated and reported on how much he was supposedly getting to sign with the University of Florida was outlandish numbers. I mean, we're talking into the eight figures, like $13 million.
Wow.
And that was essentially written on a bar napkin. That wasn't going to hold up. He ended up, not transferring. He ended up basically at Arizona State.
So that's the point I think Chip Kelly's making that I think resonated with so many people, because it sounded, his two-minute soliloquy, we played that last hour before you were coming here for our audience, his concept of, let's not wait for Notre Dame, essentially, to join a conference. Let's have all the conferences become Notre Dame under the construct of a commissionership and 64 teams that I guess are decided, that are allowed into the football being removed from everybody else's athletic departments. Everybody else can go under the same old construct. Like the Pac-12 could technically still exist for the Olympic sports or the, right, or even basketball.
But not football, yeah.
But football is separate. And let's come up with rules that does handle the issues best that they can. of NIL and transfer portal and scheduling and things of that nature and playoffs. And let's go and do that. Why not is what I'm asking you. Why, what? That sounds too normal.
It does. And it's, he has had some of these ideas for a while. We've had these conversations offline, at least, dating back the last 4 months. And there's, because he even talked about how, because he's more familiar with the NFL model than most college coaches, because he coached in the NFL.
He described it where you're going to be playing a certain other conference yes. in a rotational basis.
Just
the
like
same
the NFL divisional models. Right. Yeah. And the other things that, he talked about was, how the TV rights would work. Now, some of this, though, if you're ESPN, you basically own the playoff. You own a lot of college football. Some of these TV deals are going to, how are you going to get around some of them?
So then make a commissioner consortiumship of, your boss at Fox, the bosses at ESPN, just hand it off to them. I think there's some honesty. There are some athletic directors who have come from ESPN. You know what I mean? So
one of the things that Chip has talked about for a while, and it's something the head coach of your alma mater talks about, is revenue sharing. And, what percentage of that, he has been pretty bullish on the players need to get taken care of. And Harbaugh's talked about that publicly. I don't know, it's hard to get these people together on a lot of things. And I'll use this as an example. So a year from now, we're going to have a playoff. It would be running right now and into the portal, into signing day. And one of the coaches, a head coach I spoke to this week said, and this is a guy who's on the AFC board, he goes, we haven't even talked about that. Meaning stuff just happens and they cannot get out in front of anything. Chip, like a lot of coaches, their frustration was a lot of the rules that college football, major college football has to deal with often come from places that are not major college, presidents or ADs, their orbit or their perspective or what they deal with it's not apples and oranges. It's like apples and spam. It's a completely different thing. And so that's why I think he looks at, independent status and all those other things. But I think Chip might be a really good person to be the commissioner of this. Well, he doesn't want to be, but I was like, I don't think anybody, our old, I think you probably worked with him back in the day too, Tim Brando, he's been talking about a conference commissioner since he was probably at ESPN. And he's railed at it. I can't imagine, can't tell you how many conversations I've had over drinks with him where he would talk about that. But he is not wrong, at least about that. He's not wrong about that.
I was about to say, Timmy B's conference commissioner meetings would be amazing. Tim Brando.
He's been talking about that for a long time.
But the question is who's going to say this is madness? We're smart people. There's a lot of money at stake. We all understand the revenues involved. Let's figure it out. Because you just said something, Bruce Feldman, that totally blows my mind. So next year, coaches of programs that are now the first round of this college football playoffs will be getting ready for the games while they're figuring out who's coming in for National Signing Day and who's in the portal and who's not. Obviously, I know they have staffs for that. But get out of here. It's so stupid. It's dumb. And this is supposed to be higher education. Why are we doing that? So figure out who's to do it. And I will just, as I said to you before, to these guys here before, Chip Kelly saying what he's saying about, paying players and whatever and doing that sort of thing. He needs to be careful because at least Harbaugh's got the NFL to fall back on when he's getting drummed out. Chip Kelly, I don't know if the NFL is going to be there for
him. I don't think Chip cares about he's gonna say what he thinks, and I don't think he's worried about that kind of thing. He's giving his opinion on it,
and it makes complete sense. So then I guess the last thing for you is so what will be the impetus that next year a bunch of blue blood programs will be like, this is nuts, we're getting ready for a college football playoff game and I gotta make sure this kid is actually gonna sign his letter of intent, and I'm gonna be texting in the middle of a
a film session or I'm stepping off a podium to do my media availability for a college football playoff first round game. I'm on the road. I got to figure out how to go on the road and I'm in the middle of all the recruiting. Like who's going to step in and do this? Who's going to be the
adult? I think one of the things in this particular coach I talked to made the point of like, look, everybody knows we're well compensated. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us, but logistically, like it can't hold up.
It can't.
So
what I'm saying is who's going to be, is it Sankey? Is it one of the...
It would have to be somebody like that, because if it can't be... Look, the ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips, who was a former AD at Northwestern, is a Notre Dame guy. I think he's one of the smarter guys in college athletics. Now, he's ended up stepping in it from time to time because he's coming out of the ACC, and you know everybody's trying to speak to their constituents, right? That's the part where it gets kind of sticky, is who are the people who are going to have the platform, who are going to have the stomach to do that. I'm not saying they don't exist, but it'd be interesting to see who would get into that. There's been a bunch of stuff where I feel like Greg Sankey has wanted to do the right thing mm-hmm. for the big picture, but he also knows he's the one with the most clout because he's the one with the most resource programs, has a huge TV deal. Mm-hmm. Some of these other places, like the Big Ten, is similarly well-resourced, but the Big Ten leadership has been so up and down, you know, from Kevin Warren, who is, you know, dealing with all sorts of stuff, and then he jumps to the NFL. You got Tony Petitti, who's had a rocky first year. He obviously knows the TV business. That's where it came from. You know, the Pac-12, you know, was essentially rudderless. You have everybody is so trying to do their own thing because if they realize they don't, somebody's poaching them. It's a really strange dynamic. I'm not saying it's never going to get sorted out. They have to figure it out sooner than later, but I don't know who steps in the middle of it because just knowing what I know about like how the CFP operates, like there's stuff behind the scenes that would like kind of blow people's minds if they knew the level of dysfunction and knives out that goes in with that stuff.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. You ever see Casablanca? You ever see that, Bruce? You ever see that movie, Casablanca?
I did not.
Okay. You need to see Casablanca. I know you haven't, right?
Definitely not.
Do you see Casablanca?
Of course, Rich.
TJ, have you ever seen Casablanca?
You know, bits and pieces. The most memorable parts
well,
of it.
Well, you know, there's a famous scene in Casablanca where the police chief is shocked that there's gambling going on in Casablanca as he's taken, you know, some sort of...
I feel like I've seen this in Caddyshack with Bushwood.
Oh, yeah, no, right. Yeah. Keep it fair.
It's a
famous line, like, the cop that knows that there's gambling going on is shocked that there's gambling going on in Casablanca. That's how I felt reading your piece, that every single coach that coached against Michigan thinks Alabama's going to win.
Could you have just used the Bushwood example with Judge Smales and not made me feel... Brockman feel like we're so uneducated right. And so
excuse me, that's your problem. Okay, Bruce, like I don't know how you haven't seen Casablanca.
Let's see, when was that released?
Oh my god,
good reference.
Okay, so while he's
googling up one of the most famous
1942
films of all
nice
time,
timely reference.
Go see it. That means you're over two. Yes, sir.
All right, so the Michigan thing is fascinating to see the reaction. So I worked on four different stories that are all running this week at The Athletic. Day one was Michigan, day two Alabama, day three, which is today, is Texas, day four, tomorrow is Washington.
Okay.
Talk to all these coaches who played them. Not all are the coaches from the conference, most are, but there's a handful that I talked to who are maybe played them in the non-conference. Mm-hmm. The Michigan one, as it turned out, was the most where... When I talked to these guys, and it didn't hit me right away, it actually hit me as towards the end of, you know, I was working on this. It was like, man, the way these guys are talking about it, it's like Michigan's like a 10-point underdog. And they're actually, at the time, was like a 2-point favorite, they're a 1-point favorite now. But I think there's a couple of things that are at play here. And I'm glad we're talking about this because, you know, I got so much blowback from Michigan fans who are already, you know, kind of, at wit's end because of what's gone on. Never mind you.
Yes.
Let's talk about the bulk of the Michigan fans.
Yes,
because of all the stuff that has gone on with the Connor Stallion story and how it's been reported and maybe the side comments and everything, mm-hmm. right? And also, you know, the Big Ten's punishment. One thing that I think happened, or, you know, towards this is, okay, they went 3-0 without Jim Harbaugh, and that was the toughest games. Beat Penn State at Penn State, beat Maryland, trap game-ish, and then obviously beat their arch rival again. I think the schedule, and then they play a really good defense, not a good offense, but a really good defense, number one, you know, defense basically they're going to see in Iowa in the Big Ten title game. So the schedule is super backloaded, right? And I think with the biggest question marks that, that coaches have is with J.J. McCarthy and the offense. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, hey, he looks so good in the beginning of the year, and then I'm watching him now, and they're not explosive at all.
Well, they handed it off 20-some-odd straight times against Penn State to win that game.
They did. Now, also, though, he got a lot of pressure in the first couple series of the game. The right tackle couldn't block. And, look, Penn State has super twitchy edge rushers, Chop Robinson being one. He's going to be a problem for anybody.
And I'm sure Alabama does, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dallas Turner is of that ilk. He might not be quite what Chop Robinson is, but he's close. And I think, so the word is, you know, J.J. McCarthy was banged up. And now, will he be 100% after a month away from, you know, the end of the season to now? Could be a different guy. He's really athletic when he's healthy. So there's that.
Yeah, I saw the quote. Like, what, he's got to play the game of his life in order to be at Alabama, right, to win it all? But maybe. You don't have to say that about Milroe, too? You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah, so maybe.
Not I really? Mean, okay. I mean, again, I'm just...
If Milroe plays like he did against LSU, who obviously has a bad defense, but he plays like he did against Georgia, and this is where I'm going with this. Most of the coaches did not see Alabama... I'm talking about the Big Ten coaches. Did not see Alabama play Auburn because they were playing that weekend. What they did see was Alabama beat Georgia. So they're sitting there and you're seeing Alabama at their best. You know, their offensive line looked way better than it did against Texas, against USF. You know, against Auburn, they gave up a lot of yards on the ground defensively. You know, Hugh Freeze gave them a lot of problems with what he does. Georgia, Kirby Smart and Nick Saban come from the same place. I think it's what similar to what they practice against every day when they're practicing against themselves, and then how do they attack it? And Nick Saban also knows what gives us problems probably gives them problems because it's the same defensive family, you know, tree. Whereas, you know, people have watched, no lie, I mean, Michigan was, you know, J.J. McCarthy, I think, threw one touchdown pass over the last five games.
Oh, there's no question his body of work in the early parts of the season and then the last parts of the season are two separate pieces of tape.
I mean, so you put that part together with the part where, well, all this other stuff comes out, right, and you already had some of these coaches feeling like, all right, they're getting an unfair advantage, and now they're looking to go, well, it does make you wonder, did he, with him having the answers to the test,
yes,
and now if he doesn't, is he operating with the same level of confidence?
When you say answers to the test, you're referring to the Connor Stallion stuff?
Well, they're referring to know which blitz is coming from where, to know, you know, it's...
Oh, so his lack of production in the last parts of the season is not to the similar part of the season, not similar to the earlier parts of the season, is not because of the scheduling. It's because he had answers to the tests removed. Is what
no, I think
we're actually seeing the results of Michigan having the sign-stealing... ripped out root and branch.
Yes. One coach said he thought, okay, there is the schedule is backloaded. There were much better teams.
Right.
But also conceded, it does make you wonder on that. A lot of other coaches I talked to also felt that was a red flag to them.
So then one last thing. Then we can,
yes,
you know, part ways and do this again very soon. And it's fine if the answer is not the one that clearly I'm digging for. Did you sense any sense of still resentment or anything, anger, resentment from these folks that would color their remarks to you on this very subject matter?
It's entirely possible. It's a human nature thing. And I saw, you know, look, and I think enough Michigan fans who read me know I picked Michigan to win the national title back in
October.
But
sort of nonsense,
one of the commenters made a point. He was like, this is the difference between the SEC and the Big Ten. And it's like the SEC is kind of on board with its SEC,
yeah,
and the Big Ten kind of eats its own. And look, Nick Saban, you know, like he is, they have, I think this person used it, and I don't disagree. There was a lot of reverence for Nick Saban. I mean, this team barely got into the playoff, right? I mean, we talked about this before. It was like, whereas Michigan, I think there is still some leftover hostility with some of the coaches. I don't know if it, I wouldn't say it was with all of the ones I talked to, because some of them haven't been in the league that long, don't have maybe as the personal animus, but there's a few I think did. And I think there was also, when they saw it, it was like, okay, they're gettable. Now, again, I think it really has as much to do with if JJ McCarthy's 100%. Like the guy I saw last year in Columbus when they beat Ohio State, and to me, it was like, had a, you know, they could have gotten blown out of that place, but they were hung around and then they took over in the second half. He did not have Blake Corum. He had Donovan Edwards, who went off, but Donovan Edwards was hobbled in the game because he was playing with like a soft cast.
Right.
And so they were not 100%, and he hit some big plays. Like he's, I still think he needs to be at his best to beat Alabama.
I think you could say that about every quarterback against every team in this college football playoff. I understand what you're saying. I get it. Bruce, thanks for coming in, man. Have a great bowl season and a happy new year. And we will chat after the college football playoff semifinals.
Sir. I'm not going to see you at the Rose Bowl.
I'll see you at the Rose Bowl. Fantastic. There you go. We've established that. Don't go anywhere. We're back with Deion Sanders coming top of the next hour.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe talks with Stacking Deeds co-host Crystal Hammond.
I've always been a fan of nosy neighbors. I want nosy neighbors. They can tell you what's going on 10 times faster than you would know.
Again, what's she talking about, Doug?
Really?
We're repairing neighborhoods, but then we're into nosy neighbors. And
I built a career off of that.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.
I used to know you when you didn't have
have hair.
What's going on?
Back, Mortimer.
Do you think I should do this? Do you think I should do this?
I do.
Oh, wow. You do?
I do. Rich, it will bring you back like no other.
But where am I now, though? When you say bring me back,
where am I right now? You're not really happy.
What?
You're enthusiastical, but you're not really happy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm happy with my head. Zoom in on it. I'm happy with my head right now. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with life. My hats have been cutting down. They were up to 5 days a week. Now I'm at 2 days a week now.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm feeling good about Prime right now. I look at myself on social media. It's taken at least 9 years off of my life.
9 years?
Yes. I'm looking like a young Prime right now, man. You know, I looked at a picture of me on my profile the other day. I didn't know if it was one of my sons or me. That's the way I am right now, Rich.
Because, you know Suze, you know my wife. She's like seeing you on the air, and she goes, huh. She's like, is that Deion? I'm like, yeah, that's Deion.
You know what she's really saying? She's really saying, it's almost like a guy. See, we can't do this. You know, if your girl starts to pick up a little weight, you really can't say it. You just, you know, like, hey, you want to work out today, baby? Not you, but we should work. You know, you can't say it. So she's like, is that Deion? Yeah. And she's just waiting for you to jump in there. It's like double dutch, and you just sitting out there. You know, and she has the ropes, and she's just doing the ropes, and she just keep looking on you like, come on, baby, jump in. Come on. Rich, you can do this, man.
No, I know I can, but I mean...
See, you got a lot to work with on the outsides.
This is your expert opinion having... Okay.
See, you have a lot of hair. They call it donor hair.
Should I do it?
Do it, Rich.
Rich.
Don't do it.
Do it.
Say don't do it. Rich, do it.
You should do it.
All right.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. So let's go to the phone lines. Terzo and I has been hanging on for a while. What's up, Terzo? All rise.
Hey, what's up, my dudes?
What's going on?
Rich, I want to say thank you for shouting out to my grandma last week, man. I talked to her later in the week, and it made her day. Man.
Hey.
Thank you for doing that.
We'll shout out your grandma anytime, Terzo. We just did it again.
She had nice stuff to say about us. Why wouldn't we?
What's going on?
Well, dang right. Hey, so Rich, watching that John Morant return game last night, it's fun watching him. But listening to his post-game interview, I'm scared that he really didn't learn anything from this. And I know we've talked about it before at length, I just hope that he realizes kind of the impact that he has on the league. And I want him to continue to grow and be the player that we saw last night. I just hope that we don't have any other things that kind of reoccur to get us to the point where we miss the first 25 games.
I don't know. He said, Terzo, I saw that too. I saw he said something along the lines of that he's been through a lot and you know, he's a basketball player and he's excited to be back with his – he just went third person a lot and, you know, said the play was, what, 12? You know, I hear you. And I mean, they also caught him literally 2 minutes after he just – scored the game winner. What, he put up 35 and 34 minutes or 34 and 35 minutes, something.
It was impressive.
They were down 18 at 1.2 into the second quarter.
I don't blame him for thumping his chest. Why would you want to see him just say, you know, I've been through, like, go full Drew Lock? You know what I mean? Like, I don't, it's just a different setup.
Just a little bit in between those two, right?
Okay.
Where there's no real need to say that you're taking receipts or anything. It's just, hey man, this was a great thing. I'm happy to be able to be back out on the court. Just anything along those lines. So just another quick thing for you. I listened to Kittle earlier in the week.
Yep.
And I think I'm gonna just put the Brock Purdy MVP stuff to the side and say, whatever happens, this team has bigger aspirations than just the MVP. I know how cool it would be.
Yep.
But this year it's Super Bowl and nothing else. And I think that that's where this team is so locked in. And what comes of it, comes of it. But that's where we're going.
Thanks, Terzo. You be well. I think if the Niners win, the MVP comes from the 49ers. I think. Unless Purdy and McCaffrey split a vote to the point where somebody else wins it. I don't know. We will see. Hour number three coming up. Deion Sanders, Shelley Hennig. One of the stars of Obliterated on Netflix in studio. And then more of your phone calls here on the program. Did you see Morant after the game? Did you see that?
I did. I heard the you know, I got receipts quote. I just saw people talking about it.
You know, I honestly, those moments are not usually the most introspective, which is why when I just said, you know, is he going to go full Drew Lock? Like, that's why the Drew Lock interview was so it kind of caught everybody.
Yeah.
So the guys served 25 games. I mean that's a hefty
sat for a while
chunk of time. And if he hasn't learned his lesson, guess what? He'll sit longer. So hopefully he did. But in terms of just basketball last night, that game was New Orleans in the bag entering the fourth quarter. It felt like
big
that
time.
Thing was,
yeah.
And for the Grizzlies, it's just like, okay, good thing he's back. It's going to take some time for him to get his legs under him and for everybody to start remembering what it's like to play with him. And, you know, the team was terrible in the first month and a half for a reason. And then, boom, win. W. Wow. That was and then the double header on TNT.
Two good games.
Yeah, it was great seeing the Celtics and the Warriors go at it.
I actually read last night that Desmond Bain, I guess, jaw went up to him, and he's like, so we're going to get the ball to JJ, me and Jaren Jackson? And he's like, Desmond Bain looked at him and was like, hell no, you're getting the ball. Like, so they were ready for him.
And why not? I mean, why not? He's the way through. Yeah. That's for sure. Prime time next.
Humbleness. How is Susie, the kids, my nephews, and the dogs?
Love you, Prime. Have a good rest of your day. You be well.
Bless those dogs. Bless those.
You got it.
Let's do go in the man.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard.
and Conrad Thompson, too.
1995, when WCW announces they're going to be live and head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, feels like this would have been something Vince would have kind of laughed off.
No, we did not like them moving to Monday nights. There were a lot of hotels. They all carried CNN, TBS, and TNT. Vince was convinced that Ted Turner had deviously done this deal to get in the hotels and keep us out.
Something to Wrestle, wherever you listen.